I tell you, he's going to share truth with you tonight that's not hard. But it is so life-changing. If you can get this, your life will never be the same. It's really the secret that's missing from the body of Christ at large. How many of you know Jesus is alive and well? His word does not mean, you know, if you look in the yellow pages, even in Tahlequah, which is not a very large city, if you look under Christian church, how many different flavors are you going to find? All different denominations. Even if you go just take out the spirit, what we would call the spirit-filled section, you're still going to find, well, you know, this one says you can pray in tongues anytime you want to, and this one says you can't pray in tongues at all, and this one says this, and this one says that. There's only one cause for that. And that cause is pride. It is the arrogance of man with a limited mind, thinking with his intellect he can understand the mind of an infinite God. I'm going to show you what I mean by that. And the Lord set it up perfectly with Richard. When I get in teaching mode, I have most trouble with names and normal things. Richard, perfect. You know, he had it all mapped out. And he honestly believed, I know what this life is like, what he's talking about. This is what I think I should do. And I think this is what God wants me to do. And you wind up mapping out a plan for your life. Sue and I lived like that for 12 years after we got born again and filled with the Holy Ghost back in 1980. And the reason I say that, it was 12 years before we ever stepped through the door of the prayer center. Now, don't get me wrong. We love the Lord. Sue and I got radically saved. Anyone that knows us during that time. We never went back to the bars. We never backslid back into the world. I couldn't really be motivated by money much anymore. Much. Put that in there. There was still more dying to do along the way when it comes to money. But a big chunk of it got killed right away. But see, it really ties in very well with this morning's message. Because really, prosperity and everything else comes from seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all of these things, what things? Well, what he'd been talking about, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. In America, it'd be what kind of house you're going to live in, what kind of car you're going to drive. Everything that you need. And he plainly says, your Father knows the things you have need of. It's not like He doesn't know. And how many of you know He wants to provide? How many fathers we got in the room? Fathers, do we love to provide or what? Yes. Absolutely. I mean, it's a, you know, I want to cry if my little baby can't have milk. You know, I want to cry. I got to go do something, see? Well, our fathers, if we're like that, how much more is our Heavenly Father like that? So it's not like He doesn't want to meet the need. But we tie His hands because we're so doggedly determined to do what we think is the right thing to do, just like Richard was talking about. So, let me say it like this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Great. Wonderful, Gary. Hooray, that was a great message. Can anybody tell me how? How do you do that? So, one of my standard pet peeves is if I go to listen to your message, whoever you are that's preaching, and I, at the end of that message, you know, the end result of that message is, now, Gary, you should walk in more love. If that was your message, I want my offering back. Because I knew I needed to walk in more love before I heard your cotton picket message. What I need to know is, how can I walk in more love? If your message is, you need to have more faith, I want my offering back. I knew that before I came and listened to you. Can anyone tell me how? Well, when it comes to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, can anybody tell me how? Go to the book of John just for a minute. Chapter 16. Now, we're really building on this morning's message, but it's taking quite a different turn than I thought we was going to do tonight. And that's okay. The only thing I care about is what He wants to do anyway. And I'm telling you, this is very simple what we're going to do tonight. But if you can get this, it is one of the most profound things. If the church at large could get this, you would see denominational walls crumble within a few years. And the church would be united as one, which is what God wants in the first place. But I'm not going to say it can't be done. God can do anything. But wouldn't that be the miracle of miracles if that ever happened. Now, here's an amazing thing in John chapter 16. To me, John 14, 15, 16, and 17 probably are my favorite four chapters in the Bible. And this is really Jesus talking with His disciples. We're just hours from the cross now. It won't be very long, and He's going to be crucified. And so these words to them, he is summing up his ministry to them. He is imparting so much information. And even though he had told them before that the Son of Man must be crucified and suffer many things, you'll see that it says it was hidden from them. They did not understand it. They didn't comprehend it. So again, now he's telling them. And this time they're starting to get it. He's starting to let them know. He says, I'm going to be going with the Father, you know. And I've tried to meditate this and put myself in their place. I mean, here's these 12 and more really at this point. And they have forsaken all to follow Jesus. And don't you know that they're glad they did? I mean, think of what they have seen. The miracles, the dead raised. And not only watched Him do it, His anointing would come on them. He would send them out. They have prayed for the sick and seen them recover. They have done miracles. They have cast out devils. And I'm sure they're thinking, this is the best decision we ever made. This is the way it's going to be from now until the end of time, you know. And now Jesus, 3.5 years later or so, He's saying, I'm leaving. Well, put yourself in their shoes, you know. What? What do you mean you're leaving? What would you think? Is this over? This has been wonderful. What do you mean you're leaving? So He starts introducing to them in this passage the other Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the one that He's sending. Now, let's just be real for a minute. They didn't want another Comforter. We love You, Jesus. We're not interested in somebody else. We want You. So He starts explaining to them the real purpose of this other Comforter, which we can't get into all of that tonight. But what He was in this very passage we're going to look at, He brings them a real key about who this Comforter is. So I want you to notice particularly here, we're going to look at a verse in verse 12, starting in John 16. Jesus says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now let's stop for a minute. We go by these verses too quick. Let's just take Peter. Can't we all relate with Peter? Aren't you glad there's a Peter? I mean, you know, he's the one that would ask the questions that we all had, but we were too holy to ask. You know, Jesus would say things and Peter would go, what are we going to get out of it? You know, they all wanted to know, but only Peter would ask, you know. So we all relate with Peter. Well, here's Peter. They're all there, but let's just relate with him for a minute. Now, you have listened for 3.5 years to every sermon Jesus has preached. I mean, you've been to every one of them. You've heard them. And haven't you heard astounding things? I mean, they say no man ever spake like this man. And for 3.5 years, you've been taking it in, taking it in, taking it in. And then he comes to you and he says, well, I have a lot more things I'd like to tell you. But you can't bear them now. You can't bear them is the way he put it. Interesting. Now, if I know Peter at all, you go, yeah, you can. Say on, Lord. I'm sitting right here. I'm listening. What do you mean you can't say them? Say on. But Jesus, he doesn't. He says, you cannot. He didn't say you could do it with difficulty. He didn't say you could do it by going to seminary. He didn't say you could do it with study. He says, no, you can't. You cannot bear them now. And I didn't know for years what he really meant by that. Let's keep going a little bit. But he says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, don't run me out of church for saying the truth here now. He just got through saying, I have a lot more things I'd like to tell you. You think those things would be truth? The things that he'd want to tell them? He says, but I can't tell them to you. But now when the Spirit of truth comes, he's going to guide you into... He's going to tell you the things that I can't tell you now. And I was going, tell me now. I don't get this. I couldn't get... What do you mean? Just go ahead and tell me now. Well, now notice, he's trying to explain to them this other Comforter, which they're really not that interested in, to be honest. We want you to stay, Jesus. For he said, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Boy, for years I did not get that. What in the world are you talking about? And then finally, after much prayer and meditation and some other verses we could go to if we had more time, finally, the Lord got it across to me what he's trying to tell them. See, get this. I used to be so jealous of the 12. I mean, they didn't have to wonder every day, Lord, what do you want me to do? I mean, he would tell them what to do, you know. I'm sure, you know, we have a few examples in there, like go loose the colt and bring him on that day. Go make preparations in the other room. He sent them out to go into all the cities. And I'm sure he says, I want you to go to Tahlequah. I want you to go to, Fort Gibson. I want you to go to what? I mean, in other words, they did not have to guess. They knew who was boss. You know, we use the word Lord. Another nice synonym for Lord is boss. They knew who they were serving. They didn't have to guess what he wanted. He would tell them. And now they're going, Lord, you're leaving? How are we going to know what to do? How is this going to work? And so he's introducing this other comforter, the Holy Spirit. And what he's really telling them here when he says, he shall not speak of himself, what that's really saying is he's not come to speak on his own authority. In other words, he is not coming to replace my lordship. He is coming to bring you my lordship. What he's going to say to you is what he hears. See, it's a master stroke of genius. At that time, there were originally only 12. Well, they could all be in the Lord's presence all at the same time, and each one of them could receive their instructions for the day. But what are you going to do in our generation when there's millions of believers scattered all over the planet? What are you supposed to all Skype the Lord every day? No, but by way of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. He is with each of us individually. He is with us collectively. And because He is omnipresent, He's right with the Lord in heaven. What He hears in the presence of the Father and the Son, He repeats that to you. So it's really a master stroke of genius how every believer on the planet, no matter where you are, whether you're in prison, whether you're in business, whether you're a pastor, no matter what, where you are, you can get your instructions from the same Lord that Peter got his from. And I mean no less precise. The leadership of the Lord Himself, and I'm getting excited. I'm going, what He hears, that's what He's going to speak. And He will show you things to come. Now notice, He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. Now notice this next statement. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Does that sound familiar from this morning's lesson? Hold your place right there and go over to Luke 15 just for a minute. Hold your place. We're coming back. Remember what the elder son, what the father said to the elder son? The elder son, well, he was all upset, you know. You never gave me a kid. This son of yours, wouldn't call him his brother, this son of yours, he went out and he devoured the inheritance on harlots. You never gave me a kid. You know, he's all upset. And look what the father says to him in verse 31. And the father said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Now go back over to John 16. Jesus, the Son, He says those exact same words. Personalize it. He says, all that the Father has is Mine. Then He says, therefore said I, that He, that's the Comforter, shall take of Mine and show it unto you. Why? Why would the Holy Ghost need to show us His inheritance? All that the Father has. Because we're not really sharecroppers in the kingdom of God. We're not really farmers in the kingdom of God. We are sons and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He has made available to us all that the Father has. Our purpose is to find our place, seek first the kingdom, if you'll allow me, and all of those resources are available. And He said, they'll just be added to you. I believe in sowing. I believe in sowing. I believe in working. Remember the parable He gave in Matthew 6? He says, the fowls of the air, they don't sow or reap. He said, the lilies, they don't toil. Yet He's not against work. We're commanded to. If a man won't work, neither should he eat. You know, you reap what you sow. But we're never to put our trust in those things. We're never to start looking at our job as our source. We're not really supposed to look at our giving as our source. There's only one source, and that's our Father. The truth of the matter is, when we sow, it's to reap a harvest. But once your mind changes to this heirship, sonship mentality, you start realizing who you are. When you know that you can't sow to reap more than all, He's already made you a joint heir with all. When you're sowing, you've got a harvest in mind, but it's not a harvest for you. It's a harvest for the kingdom.
Amen.
It's a harvest for the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
He's already made everything available to you. He just got through telling you that. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore said I unto you that the Holy Spirit, He's going to take of mine and show it unto you. Well, how in the world do you find that kind of leadership? We know the Holy Spirit is a real key here. I'm introducing this comforter. He, Peter. Now, see, that's just religion will just run you out of town on a rail for even saying that. Here's the Lord Jesus Himself standing there saying, you're Peter right now. Here's the Jesus Himself standing here going, I have a lot of truth I'd like to tell you. And I know I am the Son of God. But I'm just here to tell you, I can't do it. I can't give you this truth. It's not really that I can't. You're just not able to bear it. But the Holy Spirit, when He comes, that same truth that I can't share with you, He's going to share it with you. Now, that's what He just said, is it not? Why? Why in the world, though? What is it so profound that He can't even share it with Peter at that point? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We need to take up another offering right now. This is too good right here. This is... I love this. These things took me, some of them, a decade or more to pray out and meditate out and to where I could finally understand it in context. We're giving it to you in 15 minutes. It's not fair, Lord. It's not fair. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul writing to the Corinthian church. And of course, he is the apostle. He's the one that came and led them to the Lord in the first place. You can read earlier in this chapter. In fact, verse 2 of chapter 2, he says, when he first came to them, he says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. See, and that's really the only message to the lost. You've got to get them saved. The message to a lost person, there's no point talking to them about sanctification, talking to them about edification, talking to them about... They need to get saved. And he tells you why here in just a little bit. He says, now, Paul, with all of the revelation knowledge that the man had, he only had one message for the lost, and that's Christ and Him crucified. But now watch this. We'll pick it up here in verse 12. When he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, what he means is, now that I've led you to Christ, now that we are born again, you've not received the spirit of the world. And notice it's a little S. And that's correct. What is the spirit of the world? Well, that's the nature that's in every human that's born of the loins passed down generation to generation from Adam and Eve. Y'all know at the fall, y'all, you tell them from the south, right? Y'all know at the fall. Anyway. Their nature changed. That righteous spirit that God originally made in His own image. It went from life to death. It went from light to dark. It became a twisted, sinful type nature in man. And by the law of Genesis, every generation was born with that same nature on the inside of them. That's the spirit of the world. Everybody on planet Earth, it doesn't matter what country, doesn't matter your skin color, every human on planet Earth is born with the spirit of the world. But He says when you get born again, you don't receive that spirit. But you receive the Spirit which is of God. And you notice that's a little S. They got it right. The translators of the King James got it right there. Because it's not talking about the Holy Spirit of God. It's talking about a Spirit that was created on the inside of you when you received Jesus as your personal Savior. Your spirit went from death to life. You went from darkness to light. You went from a sin nature to a righteous nature. And that may not be fully manifested on the outside yet, but in your spirit, it was instant. It doesn't, just instantaneous. One minute you were one thing. After you received Jesus, you were another thing. You received the Spirit, which is of God. Why? Boy, these next few words. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. If you write in your Bible, I would underline those words and write it out in the margin. inheritance. Inheritance. You can't even know it until you receive that Spirit which is of God. He tells you why here in a minute. Why you can't know it. And it doesn't matter how much book learning you have. It doesn't matter how many seminaries you go to. You can have a righteous nature and still not be taught by the Holy Ghost. Your mind, your intellect could still be... If you're still at the mercy of your intellect, you're at the mercy of deception too. Now watch this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. What he was really telling Peter back there, Peter, it's before the cross. You haven't had a chance yet to be born again. I've been able to teach you, but up to this point I've used parables and I've used natural things that a natural person can understand, trying to get across to you spiritual truth. But I can only go so far with that, Peter, because the real things of God are spiritual. He tells you here in just a minute. They're spiritually discerned, not mentally first. And you can't know them. You can't know them. How did he say it? You cannot bear them. Now you can't. There's no way that I can get it to you, Peter, no matter what I do. You can't get it because there's no spirit inside of you to be taught. Boy, the day that finally hit me, I went, a lot of my books, now I'm not against books. I like books and I like reading. Time out. I got a gift this week by the internet from a precious couple that I saw in South Africa back in 2003 when I was over there. It was a nice gift, a really nice gift. And I just love them. If they were here right now, they'd just be instant family. You'd just love them, you know. But what they said, man, so I emailed them back because I don't really watch the offerings. I don't know who gives what normally. But if we get an unusual gift or something, Aaron usually tells me. And so she told me, said, hey, your friends from South Africa, they sent a gift. So I sent them an email. I said, boy, I'd like to hug your necks and just, man, I appreciate that. We're going to use it correctly. But what they said back to me, I'd forgotten. They said, well, we've been wanting to send this gift for a long time. We should have done it before now. But we want to thank you for being the man that told us to quit listening to your teachings and go pray instead. It changed our life. And I remember that, telling them over there. I said, it's fine to listen to me or anyone that's really been taught by the Holy Ghost, but once you know what to do, it's time to quit listening. It's time to go do what you've been taught. It's time to go pray yourself. Go pray. Now, get in a good prayer time a week or something, and if you want to come back and listen to another lesson, fine. But don't just keep listening and never doing. It's fine to hear about prayer, but someday you've got to quit hearing and start praying. It's fine to hear about fasting, but someday... Can y'all tell I've learned a little bit this year about fasting? Glory to God. I've learned a few things this year about fasting. I don't know if you let me say anything about it this week or not. I've learned a few things. You know, you learn more by doing than you do by listening. Yeah. Well, anyway, let's finish this up here. So he says, I got to read verse 12 again. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, just like I'm speaking tonight, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. I'm teaching you guys what I have learned by the Holy Ghost, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now here's the verse. This verse right here is why we have Heinz 57 flavors of Christianity in the phone book, and it's really a lot worse than that, a lot more than 57. But the natural man, and you could put the natural mind right there, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Now that's a capital S, and it should be a capital S. For they are foolishness unto him. Now get this, neither can he know them. That's what Jesus said to Peter. Neither you can't. You can't bear it. You can't know it, Peter. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. Oh my God. Spiritually discerned. I understood then why we turn out so many powerless preachers from seminaries. I'm not really against seminaries. I wish they'd teach more about the Holy Ghost, though. I wish they'd teach more about learning how to pray in tongues and bow the knee before Him and learn what he says. He's the one that's been assigned now to bring the lordship of Jesus to each one of us. And it doesn't matter whether you're a young couple with raising godly seed, whether you're a retired couple like me and Sue. We're retired. There's no such thing as retirement for preachers. You just preach and then you keep preaching in heaven or something. I don't know what's going to happen. You know? It doesn't matter what age of life we're in. We're still part of the body. And He has a plan for each of us. And our job is not trying to figure it out. God gave us a mind the same way that... I like a laptop. Don't you like a good laptop? I mean, one that works well. It's a good tool. But I never want my laptop start telling me what to do every day. Now, it's okay to remind me of stuff that I put in there. But I don't want it start telling me, like it's the boss, this is what you're going to do. Did you know that we've done that with our minds? Our mind is a real nice laptop. It's there as a calculator. It's there as a planner. God gave it to us to organize things and to use. But what's happened, we have bowed the knee to the laptop like it's the boss. And it's not designed to be the boss. The boss is the Lord Jesus Christ. The real you is not your mind. The real you is that spirit that He put in you. And you're supposed to get your instructions, Holy Spirit, to your reborn human spirit. Then your spirit is the one that instructs the mind. And the mind is going, yes, sir. Now, one of the best examples of this, before we turn to it, go over to Galatians chapter 2 for just a minute. One of the most famous verses, the man that led me to the Lord, Michael Muccio, has written a book now called The Transformed Lot. No, it's called The Miracle Exchange. And it's a book about, I don't know, pretty thick. And it's all about this verse, basically, Galatians 2:20. And... let's just read it. He says, "I am." Now, who wrote the book of Galatians? I know it's the Holy Ghost, but what? It's Paul. Okay, we're going to look at Paul in a minute. The same guy who wrote this verse. He says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. For the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Boy, a whole book written on that. And there is depths to that. There's a reason for that. We'll be learning on that verse for a long time, but I want to show you the beginning of it. So go back to the book of Acts for a minute. Acts chapter 8. Let's look at the conversion of Saul. Saul was a very smart man. Do y'all know that? Saul was a very learned man. It plainly tells us he studied at the feet of Gamaliel, who was the number one teacher of the day. There's no doubt in my mind that Paul had plans for his life. Saul, before he was converted, he was known as Saul. Saul of Tarsus. And there's no doubt in my mind he had a plan for his life. I was thinking of that when Richard was talking about he had a plan. And Saul, he is the champion of the old covenant. I mean, he in his mind, these Christians are heretics, all of them. You know, the law of Moses is what God wants. And in his mind, he's doing God a favor by persecuting these Christians and having them killed. He was the man standing there, the people that stoned Stephen to death, they laid their clothes down at the feet of a man named Saul. Saul was giving consent. Why was he needing to give consent? You can read it. He was the one that had been given letters of authority from Jerusalem to go persecute the Christians even unto death. And if Paul says stone him, they stoned him. Now, he wasn't going to dirty his hands with the stones, but he stood there while they did it. This is Saul of Tarsus. He's the champion of the old. He's the Superman of the Old Testament. He says, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. You know, he's given his pedigree later on over in Philippians. But now watch what happens. By the way, I'm doing pretty good. This part is free. There's no additional charge. For years, you know what we're about to read is the Damascus Road experience where Jesus Himself appeared to Saul. I often wondered. I used to think that's not fair. I thought you're not a respecter of persons. How can you appear to Saul like that? Smack him off his horse. Or smack him to the ground if he was walking, it doesn't really say. A bright light and a loud noise. And you didn't go after my Uncle Harry that way. You know, I couldn't understand that. Back up a couple of chapters to the stoning of Stephen. Back to Acts 7. They're stoning Stephen to death, and Stephen didn't do anything wrong. He didn't run off with the secretary. He didn't run off with the church offering. He didn't steal. He didn't lie. All he did was do signs and wonders in the name of Jesus and preach the truth. And now Saul is standing there giving his consent while they stone him to death. But I want you to look at this. Verse 59. And they stoned Stephen. I'm sorry, did I say chapter 8? I meant chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 59. They stoned Stephen. He was calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Does that remind you of anybody else's prayer when he was dying? Our Lord Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I have meditated this passage, trying to put myself in that place. We're not told if Stephen was a married man or not. I don't know if he had a wife or children. Maybe he had a sweetheart. I don't know. And I've never had people take rocks and start throwing them at me and hitting my head to the point that it finally dawns on you, this is it. Now, I have been in fights in school when I was younger. Thank God, not now. But I've been in fights where I've, you know, some of them I won, some of them I lost. But I've been in fist fights enough where I've been hit in the face to where your teeth would get loose and you could taste your own blood. I've been in that enough. That hurts enough. So I'm trying to put myself in Stephen's spot. And here's these guys, and man, the rocks are hitting you, and you finally go down on your knees, and it starts. In my case, I'd be going, I'm never going. This is it. I'm never going to see Sue again, my wife. I'm never going to see my lily cakes again, my little granddaughter. I would probably be thinking, God, send fire from heaven. Toast these guys, you know. And I finally saw it, though. If you back up here a little bit, you'll find out that Stephen did great signs and wonders among the people. Now, it says he's a man full of the Holy Ghost. It says he's a man full of faith and a man full of power. It never says these words. But the reason he was full of all those things, Stephen was a man full of the love of God. The love of God. And even as it's dawning on him, this is my last day. I see Jesus. I'm coming. Receive my spirit with his last breath. From his heart, he's looking at Saul, giving consent, and the men who are stoning him. And God's love is stronger for them than it is for his own life. We've got some discipleship ways to go yet. And he says, Father, forgive them. Jesus had taught, he says, whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. He said in another place, whose sins you remit, they are remitted. Saul, the reason Jesus could go after Saul, Stephen loosed heaven to go after him with that prayer. Loosed heaven to go after him with that prayer. So now let's go back over and look at the event. Now, Saul didn't know any of that. In fact, let's back up just a little. It started in chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he says, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, if you read the rest of this, you'll see where the Lord appeared to a man named Ananias and gave him instructions to go lay hands on Saul, who recovered of his blindness, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and Ananias gave him some instruction. But we're going to look at some other things in another passage here that were spoken that's not recorded right here. Now, the point is, I want you to notice this. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live. Well, it's not I, but yet it is I, and it's Christ in me. What is he talking about? Well, listen, Saul of Tarsus, his plan for his life came to an end that day. Saul is a real smart guy. He didn't know who it was at first. A bright light and a sound. Wham! He's on the ground. His first words are very smart. Who art thou, Lord? In other words, I don't know who you are, but whoever you are that has that kind of power, you are Lord. Who are you? And Jesus answers, I am Jesus whom you persecute. Then Saul says the next smartest thing that a person can say. Look at it yourself. He says, verse 6, trembling and astonishing, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That right there is, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's it right there. Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do, Lord? Your life is over. Whatever Saul's agenda for his life, I'm sure he thought maybe he would be promoted to maybe his Sanhedrin. Maybe he had his sights set on being a priest someday. I don't know what he had. Whatever plan he had for his religious life, when he met Jesus, his life is over. That's what I say. We are owned. We are bought with a price. Lord, what would you have me do? Yes, sir. My job is not to ignore him when he brings something to me. See, right now, I'll just tell you all, I was raised Southern Baptist. Thank God for this Baptist. Like our pastor says, without the Baptist, where would we Pentecostals get our people? You know? but I was raised. I mean, one thing about them, they'll work the town and pass out tracts. Amen? But see, I was raised Southern Baptist, and the way I was raised, and thank God for them, I really mean that. But the way I was raised, I knew I had a call on my life from the time I was about 7 years old. I remember I went forward to give my life to Jesus and give my life into service when I was 7 or 8. But I didn't know anything about really how to do that. How do you do that? If I would have stayed in that denomination, you know, and kept with that conviction, well, the time would come you'd enter seminary. I would have learned a lot, whatever they teach in seminary. Now, it's a lot of good things. It's Bible things, but it's pretty much all mental things. It's intellectual knowledge. And I'm sure I would pray and love the Lord, but I would not know how to communicate those mysteries like 1 Corinthians 14:2 talks about. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men. In fact, let's just go there for a minute. It's important enough now. 1 Corinthians 14:2. I want you to see. It really is in your Bible. 1 Corinthians 14:2. This is the same chapter where Paul says, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. Where do you think he got all that revelation knowledge? You can read where Paul says there was a spirit assigned to stop him a spirit was assigned to stop him. And it plainly tells you why. He says, because of the abundance of my revelations. Satan, he does hate you. But when he attacks you, it's not because of you. It's for the word's sake. He's trying to remove the word from you. If he can do that, you become powerless. To have revelation is one thing. To act on that revelation is another. You understand? Anyway. 1 Corinthians 14:2. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. Howbeit, in the Spirit, notice little s, in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. I'll never forget the first time I heard Pastor Dave Roberson ask this question. He says, we can tell two things for sure. When you're speaking in this unknown tongue, you're speaking to God. That's number one. And the second thing we know, mysteries are being communicated. Then he asked this question. How many of you think that during that process, you are explaining mysteries to God? It's so pure. It's just so pure. It cuts through all the religion. No. No, God knew everything many millennia before you ever showed up. No. He is communicating mysteries to you. Well, what kind of mysteries? Everything Christ is in you, to you, and through you. It is really one of the best ways for you to bow your knees before His throne and say, Lord, what would you have me do? And I'll just go ahead and tell you this. This is what He said to me, Drew. I was raised Southern Baptist. I love the Baptist. I really do. I thank God for the Baptist. Most of my Baptist relatives on my dad's side are still Southern Baptist. I'm the black sheep of the family because I'm one of them tongue talkers, you know. But they're on their way to heaven. I mean, they love Jesus. They'll give you the shirt right off their back. They'll work the town, pass out tracts, feed the poor. They do. They love the Lord, you know. Now, what's interesting, the other side of my mom's side of the family is holiness Pentecostal. Hair up in a bun, skirt all the way down past the ankles, no makeup, you know. I don't ever be in at grandmother's, on my mom's side house and not hear her sing to the Lord in other tongues. Cooking on an old wood cook stove, just love God. Now on that side of the family, there's none of those cards in the house, no dice in that house. You go to my Southern Baptist side and they had canasta night. Then on Friday nights, they had a television, bless God. And all the other farmers came to Grandpa's house to watch Friday night boxing, you know. So I grew up seeing this both kind of each end of the pendulum swing here, and I found out they're both saved. They're all going to heaven. They all love Jesus. And a lot of these other things just weren't, you know, that weren't. So I call myself a Babdecostal. Okay, I'm a Babdecostal. You with me? All right. Well, anyway, had I stayed in that Southern Baptist denomination and gone to seminary, eventually it's graduation time. You got to decide what you're going to be. Now, you know, and of course they teach where I grew up that there's no such thing anymore as apostates, apostles. I guess apostle and prophet is an apostate. Apostles, prophets. About all they really allow is pastor, missionary, Sunday school teacher. Knowing my temperament, just the way that I am made, there's not a doubt in my mind. I would have wound up on that path, pastoring a church somewhere, and I would be doing my best. And you know, God would be blessing that all that He could, because that's just who He is. He says you can't even give a cup of cold water in my name and lose your reward for it. He's not against us. He's with us in everything we do. He will bless whatever you do all that He can. But that is just not the same as, Lord, what would you have me do? You see, I spent lots of time with the Holy Ghost. I don't just teach this. I do this. One day, He told me. He just flat told me. He says, here's the Holy Ghost talking to me, but He says, He, meaning the Lord, has not called you to pastor. And He never will. Now, don't get me wrong. I filled in for Pastor Dave. I could fill in, you know, or something. But I will never be a pastor full-time of a church. Why? I've not been called to that. So my next question was, well, what am I called to be? That's a good question. And He told me plainly. He says, you are a teacher in the body of Christ. That is where your anointing is. And that is where your provision is. I've never forgot that. But do you know down through the years how many well-meaning people, especially pastors, have prophesied to me? Yeah. And it always starts with yeah. Oh, Brother Carpenter, I see the vision. Oh, the Lord's going to have you pastor a great church. I see that. I do it like they didn't do it. I see the steeple and here's all the people. And, you know, and the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. I never embarrass them or anything. I say, well, thank you, you know. Keep praying. See, because once you've heard from the Lord yourself, you can't be moved. The enemy will try. But there's just a big difference. Now, He would bless if I... And I'm not... I'm just sharing what He's given me to share now. It doesn't matter to me. But I would be out pastoring a church somewhere. He would be blessing that, even though I'm really not a pastor. He'd be blessing it what He could. But that's not the same as me finding out I'm a teacher in the body. How do you want me to teach? Well, He has taken our little loaves and fishes that started with a little Bible study in our house. He's multiplied that around the world, just following Him one step at a time. I told him this morning, I don't think all of you were here, but the statistics from our website are average. My voice is being heard about 72, 75 times an hour around the world. Isn't it amazing? I can be standing here live in Tahlequah preaching, and I'm also preaching in Zimbabwe and Germany and Africa and all around the world. 72 messages. What would the Apostle Paul have thought? You talk about the Lord multiplying your loaves and fishes, but it's been a process of following Him one little step at a time, one little step at a time. Lord, and some of it's not spiritual. Some of it is... Yes, sir. Oh, my goodness. don't know what time you normally quit, but that's over. Okay. I'm doing my best here. I know tomorrow's a school day. We'll be out here in a few minutes. Okay. All right. Yes, sir. Okay, bring that back. Hallelujah. Yes. In the early days, trying to follow Him, it's not always spiritual. You know, what would you have me do, Lord? He kept dealing with me about learning to use a computer. And at the time, I was a busy man. I was raising kids and, you know, working my job, and I'm busy. And plus, I hadn't been in school. My brain had not tried to really learn new stuff in a long time, let's just say. I'd been out of college since 1969. That'll scare some of you. But back when, you know, dinosaurs roamed the earth. My brain was just not accustomed to, you know, really trying to learn new things. But the Lord would deal with me. I want you to start learning to use these computers, you know. And I was resisting it. But I mentioned it to my wife one time. And I have a wife very much like Richard's got a wife, you know. My wife believes in obeying God. But my wife is probably like Hazel, very gifted. My wife has learned the difference between nagging and encouraging. My wife has this uncanny ability to help me obey God and make me think it was my idea. Now here God's trying to get me to use the computer, and I'm resisting it because I'm intimidated by them. I had some friends. They would sit and talk, and at that time they would talk about, to me they were saying like this, megabyte, you know, megabyte, gigabyte, hard drive, what drive, you know, and I'm going Windows, and I'm going, there's a window right there. What are you talking about? I had no idea what they were talking about at all. I'm all intimidated. I don't know anything. And God's saying, you need to start learning this. And Sue, now here's the way Sue would do it. Instead of, you need to learn to use a computer. That's the way a lot of women would do it. You need to learn that. You know what God said? No, 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 no. You know what Sue would do? She'd probably give me a big hug and snuggle right up against me. Give me a big cup of coffee. She'd say, you're so smart. I take a sip. I am, aren't I? I am a pretty smart guy, aren't I? She said, you know, I bet if you ever really started learning one of those computers, I bet you'd be really good at that. You might really be surprised. You might really enjoy that because you're just so smart. I am, aren't I? I really am. Well, she just kept on and like that. You know, I mean, she's good now. She's really good. And pretty soon I had a good idea. I think I'm going to learn how to use a computer. Well, that was a lot of fun. I bought this. We had no money. The first computer I ever bought was $50. Monitor. Computer. I mean, okay, you know, I mean, this thing is wore out before I even start. And I went and bought whatever, I can't remember now, but it was something like Windows for Dummies. I'm reading this thing, and I'm trying to follow the directions. And the guy who originally come over trying to help me, he's one of these guys that, you know, we called him the Velcro guy, because everything's quick. Bam, you know. And he'd go, all right, this is how you do it. You boot that up right there, you read, and bye. Thank you. Thank you very much. So I'm reading the book. And I'm not that way at all. I'm the other guy. I'm the guy that actually reads the instructions. So I'm reading it. Okay, do this. Do that. And I'm thinking I did everything just right. Hit enter. Crash. Oh, man. Yeah. So I'm stomping around the living room, you know, trying not to cuss or anything, you know. And I'm coming. Now, Sue could tell you the truth. If she'd tell you, I'd go back in there, though, after a little while of frustration, I'd go back in there and I'd talk to it. I'd say, you are a machine. You are going to obey me. You are my slave. You serve me as I serve the Lord. I mean, I've done gone smack crazy. I'm in here talking to machines now, you know. And I'd go back again. And I'm telling you, I can't tell you the number. I have a really nice 16-pound sledgehammer out in the garage. And I can't tell you how many... I would dream about smashing that computer with that 16-pound sledge. I mean, I hated that thing. But I kept at it and kept at it. If I had not have done that, whatever path I would have chosen, He would bless that all that He could. But it's not the same. Boy, that was important to the call. I didn't know it at the time. But me learning that stuff about computers, now later on I was able to hire people that know a lot more about it than me. But I understand it well enough that He can still get across to me what He wants to do, see? I'm talking about finding Him. Lord, what would You have me do? That's really what matters. Lord, what would You have me do? Okay, He's telling me to wind it up now. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. Howbeit, in the Spirit, He's communicating mysteries. I would just want to encourage you tonight. Begin to speak those mysteries. If you really want to be a person where you can seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, yield to the teacher that He has sent us. And it's this one. It's the Holy Ghost. He said that Holy Spirit, He's going to guide you into all truth. Not just the things that I've told you up to this point. He's going to take you beyond. Do y'all realize what that means? There's a lot of truth past the Gospels. I can't even say any more about that. There's a lot more truth. Of course, the epistles are really the letters that are written to us. That's really to us. Spirit-born children of the living God. But it doesn't matter. Hey, gray hair, blonde hair, black hair, young, old, in between, raising kids, got a job, doesn't matter. What matters is that leadership of the Holy Ghost. And He made us all equal. He gave us that same Holy Ghost. He gave us the ability to pray those mysteries. Trust me, the Holy Ghost is smarter than we are dumb. He is able to get across to you the mind of Christ. You spend enough time in prayer, He will get it across to you, what it is He wants you to do. Now, it's still your decision. You don't have to obey Him. You can go your own way. You can go your own way if you want to. And He will, and as long as it's a Christian way, He will bless that path. But it's not the same as, Lord, what would You have me do? That is the path of anointing. And it doesn't just stop there at that one place. It's continuing to grow. We're going through an evolution. I hate to use that word in church. We're going through a maturing of the website right now. He's got some things He's got in mind that we're not doing right now. And so I don't know how to do them. I don't even know. So we're in that. It's an always going on. But He's wanting to reach farther. I'll just go ahead and tell you this now. I'll close. He'll get right smack up close and personal with you. When He is Lord and you're not. Here's what He said to me coming back from Florida, June the 1st or so. He just told me. He didn't tell me why. He says, and at the time, I'll just tell you, I weighed 235 pounds at the time. He just told me, be under 200 pounds by conference. Well, that was October 6th. He told me that on June 1st or so. I didn't know why. I just knew what He said. When you really get to know His voice, you know His voice. So I got right with it. I'm one of those that, okay, if that's what you want to do, and I mapped out a plan and got an app for that and figured it all out, like how many calories I could have a day and all of those kind of things. And I set out to do it. He never did tell me why. Could have been just for my health. Another man of God, I'm about halfway through the process, I'd lost about 20 pounds at that point, and another man of God had to tell me. He says, the Lord is showing him that there's going to be a whole lot more video in your future. And people will receive better from you if you don't appear to be a glutton. Isn't that something? Just as plain, just as simple. The Lord is real. The Lord is practical. And He always has a reason for everything He does. Let's just lift our hands for a moment. Thank You, Lord. I just thank You, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, that You can speak all of these things to us. Lord, You truly did not leave us as orphans to have to find our own way, to have to figure it out. You said You're going to send the Comforter. He will take us by the hand. We're not little orphans in the alley trying to find our way. We're not trying to find our own provision. You lead us into our provision. You lead us into our calling. You lead us into the mind of Christ. And Father, I thank You right now for Your Holy Spirit. I thank You, Lord, for a refilling of all those that have been filled. I thank You for a re-quickening. I thank You even tomorrow, Lord, You'll put a quickening in them, reminding them of these things spoken tonight. That we'll all just begin to pray more, not even know why we're praying more. But it's because each one of us really wants that same question answered. Lord, what would You have me do? What would You have me do? And Father, we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.